It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for being with us past the peak of the pandemic.
We want to get our country back.
President Trump will reveal this afternoon a game plan to do just that. Reopen America.
We'll be the comeback kids, all of us, and it's very exciting.
The head of the president's coronavirus task force, Dr. Deborah Birx, cautions, however,
to all of you that are out there that would like to join together and just have that dinner party for 20. Don't do it yet.
The commander-in-chief consulting today with all 50 governors before rolling out his comeback plan. His Democratic rival in the 2020 election, Joe Biden, on MSNBC this morning.
The president of the United States acts like this is not his, nothing is his fault. Nothing is his responsibility. You know, Franklin Roosevelt made the case that, look, just tell the American people the truth. I'm paraphrasing. They can handle it. But you got to let them know what you're doing. You got to let them know you understand their pain.
The former vice president has himself been criticized for not being more of a public figure in the midst of the pandemic. 5.2 million Americans filed for jobless claims last week. That is down from a record 6.6 million the week prior, but still a staggeringly high figure. Conservative radio commentator Tammy Bruce.
The important thing to remember here is that these numbers and this dynamic is effectively artificial. We've got the virus, which is a natural disaster, but this is not unemployment based in a complete collapse of our infrastructure or some weakness in the nature of the American economy.
22 million people have lost their job the past month. The White House revealing last night that COVID-19 likely came from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. The communist regime denies it. Patient Zero apparently worked at that lab and spread the disease at an outdoor market. Defense Secretary Mark Esper.
Clearly, the Chinese could have been more transparent earlier and shared much more of the data. We would have had a better understanding of this virus and then how to deal with it.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We really need the Chinese government to open up. They say they want to cooperate. One of the best ways they could find to cooperate would be to let the world in, to let the world scientists know exactly how this came to be, exactly how this virus began to spread.
The Trump administration accusing the World Health Organization of being complicit with China and helping it cover up the origins of coronavirus. Closer to home, masks are now mandatory in New York, or at least they soon will be. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Beginning tomorrow, all New Yorkers will be required to wear a mask or face covering in public and in situations where social distancing is not possible. Governor Andrew Cuomo is giving residents notice to allow compliance with this executive order. According to the governor, if people don't follow the order, a civil penalty may result, although he does not want to go to penalty just yet. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
We'll have more on the masks later in the broadcast. Thank you, Dee. Professional sports could be making a comeback.
Sweeney grounds to third. Brocious.
A plan is in the works to allow athletes to compete in empty stadiums and arenas. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
Really, the progression needs to be open outdoor sports first. Golf, tennis, you know, swimming.
Yeah.
So that we can start to test the waters. That I'm fine with. You know, and then once we learn from that and see what happens, then we can go into crowded environments, whether it's concerts, games, or whatever.
Cuban interviewed on Fox and Friends. President Trump said yesterday he's tired of watching games on TV that are 14 years old. They're getting restless in Michigan. Protesters flocked to the state capitol in Lansing yesterday, demanding an end to stay-at-home orders.
We have to go to work. The economic fallout from all this is going to be much worse than the virus.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
The sad irony here is that the protest was that they don't like being in this stay-home order, and they may have just created a need to lengthen it.
The virus has killed close to 2,000 people in Michigan. Harvard researchers say social distancing may need to continue for years. Mike Bauer has our report.
A group of Harvard disease researchers say people worldwide might need to practice some level of social distancing through the year 2022. Lifting social distancing measures all at once could risk simply delaying COVID-19's peak and potentially making it more severe, the scientists warn. In models designed to understand the virus's spread changing with the seasons and what kind of immunity people will have after they become infected, found that social distancing was so effective that virtually no population immunity was built. To avoid such outcomes, researchers suggest on and off social distancing measures in place until 2022.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious diseases expert, talks more about when life may return to normal.
I said a couple of months ago, I think about a month and a half ago, that it would be about a year to a year and a half. It is possible to shave a couple of months off that. But, you know, you don't want to overpromise.
He says nothing is certain until there is a coronavirus vaccine. The IRS rolling out a new online tool for you to track the status of your stimulus check. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The U.S. Department of Treasury and the IRS launched the Get My Payment website. The first payments from the relief package are set to go to people who have let the IRS make direct deposits into their accounts for tax returns for the last 2 years. Now, if you did not provide your banking information on your return for direct deposit, the free Get My Payment website will help you get your money and give you the option to sign up for direct deposit. You can also use the app to track the status of your payment. Now, don't forget, the IRS does not contact taxpayers by email, text, or social media to request personal or financial information. And you should watch out for scammers and email phishing attempts about COVID-19 and the stimulus payments. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you. Still to come on the Noon Report, we'll have more on the mask mandate, high school seniors sitting on pins and needles, and coping with depression during this time of isolation.
Good afternoon. One snow system has passed. There's another one we're tracking, though. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, see you then, Kevin. Thank you. As mentioned earlier, starting tomorrow, New York residents must wear a face mask in public when they are in close proximity to others.
How can you not wear a mask when you're going to come close to a person? On what theory would you not do that?
Governor Cuomo says there will be no fines unless too many fail to comply.
You're walking down the street. You're walking down the street alone. Great. You're now at an intersection and there are people in the intersection and you're going to be in proximity to other people. Put the mask on.
Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo on the enforcement efforts.
I think you will see a lot of societal enforcement where whether it will be a store saying that a mask is required to enter the store or other situations where it will kind of police itself.
Pennsylvania also has a new face covering rule. Health Secretary Rachel Levine.
If you have to go out for life-sustaining activities, please wear a mask if you're going to come in contact with others.
Governor Wolf says grocery stores and home improvement stores will be asked to deny service to anyone not wearing a mask.
This will help us keep essential businesses open and operational. And it's the right thing to do to protect the people who have done so much for us.
Also from Harrisburg, Governor Wolf says he will veto a bill that recently passed the State House and Senate. It allows for the gradual reopening of many small businesses. Republicans fear if those businesses stay closed much longer, many will never reopen. A new study finds Pennsylvania only has enough money to pay unemployment benefits for another 11 weeks. The National Tax Foundation says the state could be forced to borrow billions from the federal government. The state does promise even if its unemployment fund runs dry, those receiving jobless benefits will continue to get their checks. The pressures of dealing with this pandemic has led to concern about a potential wave of depression, substance abuse, and suicide. Correspondent Sean Adams.
The anticipated toll of the coronavirus crisis, anxiety, depression, addiction, and suicide.
Our clients are talking to us about that. We're seeing more people using alcohol as a way to cope with anxiety and stress.
Jim Curtin, CEO of Daytop New Jersey, a nonprofit behavioral health and substance use treatment provider.
We are now starting to see what we all dread, and that's an increase in relapse in people who are either began drinking again or started using drugs again.
They're adjusting, switching to telephone and video counseling sessions. With so many people out of work and fearful for their health, he expects long-term problems.
In terms of addiction treatment and mental health issues, You know, we're going to have to be prepared for an onslaught of people needing care.
In New Jersey, Sean Adams.
A drive-through COVID-19 testing site will open for business tomorrow at the Walmart parking lot in Rochester, New York. Volunteers as well as healthcare professionals from the Walmart will staff the site. Testing will be conducted by Quest Diagnostics from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. by appointment only. There are about 850 cases of coronavirus in Monroe County, Pennsylvania, and one of them, 41-year-old Stephen Abdo, was just released from the hospital after being on a ventilator for 5 days. Only about 20% of people on ventilators ever survive. Abdo says he would never have made it if it weren't for the nurses and doctors at the Lehigh Valley Hospital.
Their hard work and efforts are what kept me alive and had the strength to keep going for my children, who are only 7 and 10 years old, and that's why I'm here right now. For them and the grace of God is why I'm standing here at this point.
God, I thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart and my kids.
Abdo's wife in tears as she spoke yesterday. More than 40 doctors and nurses lined the sidewalk to see that coronavirus survivor out of the hospital. A Corning, New York high school senior collecting 1,000 face masks to fight COVID-19. 18-year-old Angelia Collins says in just 1 week she's already halfway to her goal. The community-minded student has set up drop-off boxes outside 4 schools in Corning where people can drop off the face masks. Collins plans to distribute them to businesses throughout Corning, businesses that have regular contact with the public. And these are anxious times for high school seniors, no doubt about it. Many are uncertain about college in the midst of coronavirus. College planner Jeff Boron.
Typically, May 1st is decision day where the college selection has to be made, deposits sent in. A lot of schools are pushing that back. There's a lot of uncertainty now for students that were planning to go away.
Boron suggests high school seniors caught in this state of uncertainty consider taking a year off from college.
More and more students who are so uncertain about whether they'll be able to go away to school, potentially taking that gap year and saying, look, my heart was set on going to the school, going away, dorming, taking that gap year and saying, I'll go back in the following fall, or I'll start school the following fall.
Boron says small private colleges are being hurt the most by COVID-19. Many may be willing to cut tuition costs to accommodate prospective students. Well, it's time for sports. Time for Sonny, the two-minute drill, next at noon.
Thank you, brother. There will be sports. One day, Dr. Anthony Fauci, a key member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, says that there is a chance sports can come back as long as measures are put into place. In an interview with NBC's Today Show, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says the league is looking at other alternatives after Fauci said sports can come back as long as there is no crowd.
At minimum, we're going to have to pump sound into the arena, because hockey in a quiet, you know, environment, the two don't go hand in hand.
In addition to crowdless games, players are to be put into hotels with constant surveillance and testing. Dr. Fauci says the new recommendations would allow the league to play out the rest of their season. Vice President Mike Pence held a conference call with the College Football Playoff Management Committee. Commissioners told the vice president on the call that there would likely not be any college football until all students are back on campus. Despite no games, Jackie Robinson is still being remembered. Yesterday, it was the 73rd anniversary of him breaking Major League Baseball's color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Former Yankees and Mets outfielder Curtis Granderson honored the retired number 42 by donating 42,000 meals to food banks. The NBA's Virtual Horse Challenge resumes tonight. ESPN televising the semifinals and finals at 9. The semis pit former player Chauncey Billups against Mike Conley and Zach LaVine against WNBA star Allie Quigley. All the participants are streaming shots from their home courts. Also tonight on ESPN, the world will get to see The Last Dance documentary series. Michael Jordan and the rest of the Chicago Bulls knew that 97-98 would be their last dance together from the beginning of the season because
Jerry Krause told Phil that, you know, he can go 82-0 and he would never get the chance to come back.
Speaking to Good Morning America anchor Robin Roberts this morning, Jordan said that his sixth and final championship season with the Bulls was a trying year. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
All right, looking forward to that documentary. Should be a great one. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, ready to reopen. Masks are mandatory and help for nonprofits struggling during the shutdown.
I want to tell you about a wonderful film that's releasing this weekend. It's especially wonderful if you're still recovering from March Madness withdrawal like I am. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Most sports have a skill or type of play that defines the way the game's played. For example, without the forward pass in football, it would really just be rugby with better pads. The home run, thanks to Babe Ruth, keeps baseball from being cricket with more running. And basketball would not be basketball without the jump shot. It's so endemic to the game, in fact, that many people can't even imagine that basketball ever existed without it. But basketball did exist without it in its earlier days, with two-handed set shots, overhand flings, running one-handers, characterizing what was a much slower game then. Until, that is, the jump shot. And for that, we have to thank a player from the University of Wyoming, Kenny Sailors. Never heard of him? Well, neither had I until quite recently, and I'm a basketball junkie. A new film, appropriately produced by Steph Curry, perhaps the greatest jump shooter in the history of basketball, which is appropriately titled Jump Shot, tells the Kenny Sailors story. It was scheduled to be released in theaters in April, but instead it's opening online this weekend, April 16 to 18. And it's fantastic. Sailors, who was born in the small Wyoming town of Hillsdale in 1921, learned to play basketball against his older brother. His brother stood 6'5". Kenny was 5'7". And apparently, his brother rather enjoyed, as brothers tend to do, blocking all of Kenny's shots. One day, Kenny tried something new, jumping up and releasing the ball at the top of his leap. His brother was so impressed, he told him to keep working on that shot. And Sailors did. Eventually, he earned All-State honors in high school and leading the University of Wyoming team that won both the NCAA and NIT national tournaments in the same year. In the 4 months after that, Kenny married his college sweetheart before being shipped out with the Marines to fight in the Pacific. After serving with distinction in the war, Kenny resumed his All-American career at Wyoming before taking that jump shot to the NBA. There's an iconic photo of Sailors that appeared in Life magazine, which was taken during a game against Long Island University. Sailors' feet is at the level of his defender's waist, and he's flicking his shot in a form that players around the world have been mimicking ever since. After 5 years in the NBA, Sailors decided to retire from basketball. Why? The Lord has shown me, Sailors says in the film, that there are a lot more important things than sports. Yes, he said the Lord. And if you're wondering why I'm talking about a basketball documentary on this Christian worldview commentary, it's because Jump Shot isn't really about Sailors' contribution to basketball. It's about his contribution to people throughout his entire life. It's about a life well lived. After the NBA, Sailors moved his family to Alaska, where the clean air could improve his wife's health. There, he started Alaska's first public school girls basketball league, opening opportunities, even for Native Americans there. After his wife's death, he returned to Wyoming, continued his well-lived life, investing in the community. Talking about his wife's dementia and eventual death in the film, he says, "The Lord gives you strength that you don't even know where it comes from. He just gives you the strength to go through most everything." Especially if you're a hoops guy like me. But even if you aren't, Jump Shot is the film you should watch this weekend. Especially if you want to see Steph Curry 50 years before Steph Curry. The limited release runs online from Thursday to Saturday. Go to jumpshotmovie.com or come to breakpoint.org and we'll link you to the Jump Shot Movie website. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
All right, can't wait to see that one. Thank you, John. Let's take it outside next. Check the forecast.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Variable clouds and sunshine. Be some snow showers into the evening hours. A couple of rain showers in the mix as well, scattered about. Temperatures peaking in the upper 30s to the mid-40s. A couple of stray flurries tonight, the low in the 20s and low 30s. Clouds sticking tomorrow. Rain and snow will arrive. We'll have to watch the higher elevations of the Twin Tiers for a few inches of snow that could accumulate tomorrow into tomorrow night. Highs tomorrow in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. Saturday will become partly to mostly sunny, the high in the 40s and lower 50s.
All right, Kevin, doing a great job at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. It is Thursday, April 16th. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's happening. More than 5 million of us, U.S., filing first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week.
This is just heart-wrenching.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
In a four-week span, we have more than 22 million Americans who are filing for unemployment claims. It is astounding, it is shocking, and it is profoundly sad.
And all of that is added to nearly 12 million people who were getting continuing claims before the massive layoffs began.
Correspondent Peter King, ready to reopen. President Trump says America is past the peak of the coronavirus pandemic, and he is unveiling steps today to restart the economy.
The battle continues, but the data suggests that nationwide we have passed the peak on new cases.
The announcement will come this afternoon after the president hosts a teleconference with all 50 governors. Some may ease stay-at-home guidelines before May 1st.
The success or failure of that rolling reentry program would be the capability of being able to testify, isolate, get someone who's infected out of circulation.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious diseases expert. The governors of New York and Pennsylvania both mandating face masks in public if you are near a lot of people and cannot adhere to social distancing guidelines. Governor Andrew Cuomo says fines will not be doled out unless folks ignore the order.
People will enforce it. They'll say to you, if they're standing next to you on a street corner, where's your mask, buddy? In a nice New York kind of way.
Family Life, Sarah Harnish has more on Pennsylvania's face covering rule.
Governor Tom Wolf directed the state health secretary to sign an order Wednesday that requires the public to wear masks when they leave the house. Entry to buildings can be legally denied if they show up without a mask, meaning you could go to the grocery store and be turned away. Wolf said the order is meant to protect supermarket cashiers, power plant operators, and essential workers who can't stay home. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. Frustration over shelter-in-place orders boiling over in some states.
This shutdown has become one of total insanity.
That's the mayor of Las Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, pointing out that Nevada's death toll has been less than half of 1% of the population. She's demanding an end to the state's lockdown.
It makes no sense. For heaven's sakes, for being closed is killing us already.
Protests in Michigan over the governor's strict isolation orders clog streets. The governor says she understands people are angry.
I just urge you, don't put yourself at risk, and don't put others at risk either.
That report from correspondent David Begno. All over the country, there are fresh concerns about medical staff safety. Nurses are walking off the job at some hospitals.
We walk into the rooms with the same protection that you need to go to a grocery store. They're giving us the same equipment to go into a patient that's coughing in our face.
10 nurses in Providence, Rhode Island, recently suspended for refusing to work in coronavirus units. Federal officials investigating new claims about the origins of COVID-19. Defense Secretary Esper says it is possible the virus originated in a lab in Wuhan, China.
Results are inconclusive, if you will. We do know one thing. If the Chinese government, the party, had been more transparent earlier, it would have helped us in terms of staying ahead of this virus, being able to understand its DNA, develop therapeutics and vaccines much quicker.
Previously, it was believed the virus came from bats in an open market and then transferred to humans. Secretary of State Pompeo says China's lack of transparency has made tracing the origins of the bug that much more difficult. Nearly 60 million of us, U.S., have had to change our vacation plans because of coronavirus. Bankrate.com says most have lost money in the process.
What we found was that only about 30% of people who've experienced canceled plans got all of their money back. What I'm hearing is that there's been a lot of partial refund.
BankRate.com's Ted Rossman says 13% of those surveyed will lose everything that they put down on a vacation this year. Well, America's Paycheck Protection Plan nearly broke. That $350 billion program was set up to help small businesses impacted by the pandemic. Paul Gotosi owns a small restaurant in Illinois.
You check your emails hourly. You're waiting anxiously to hear something. I can't do it much longer. I'm trying so hard.
The Small Business Administration says it's processed 14 years worth of loan applications in just 14 days. The College Board has canceled June's SAT and is making plans for students to take the test from home this fall.
Rather than the paper and pencil test done under the watchful eye of proctors, the home test would be digital and rely on remote proctoring. College Board President Jeremy Singer said that could include using the camera and microphone on the computer to monitor movements or talking.
Cam Coulter reporting. Next at noon, the pandemic spurred shutdown, causing plenty of not-for-profits to suffer financially. But one company is looking to help. Our own Brandon Dixon spoke recently with the founder of Kilter Rewards. He's Syracuse native Seth Braddock.
Your organization's called Kilter Rewards. Give us some background on this.
Off the start, Kilter Rewards is a platform that gamifies healthy living and charitable giving. We have a lot of different types of programs. We work with corporations on workplace giving campaigns, team-based challenges, as well as work directly with charities to host virtual fitness and fundraising events at a very simple, high level. We allow users to use our app to track their daily exercise goals, whether that's running, walking, swimming, biking, going to the gym, your at-home workouts. In our events, users earn points every day for completing goals. They get to view an interactive leaderboard, and those points can be tied into challenges where they can win prizes. But the main point is that all of these events help raise money for the charities that are associated with the events.
I think it's such a unique perspective, too, because we think of this shutdown and a lot of charities losing their 5Ks or losing any type of event, which normally is the platform to where they can raise these funds. So how do you guys put on the virtual 5Ks, if you will, or these fitness and charity events?
We can extend the life of these events. For a replacement for an event that unfortunately right now has to be canceled, we would take it over and we would set up either a week-long or, even better, a 30-day virtual campaign for these nonprofits to engage their audience and use it as a time where they can, one, retain the value of the sponsors that they really rely on for fundraising dollars. They can retain the sponsors' value. We can build digital custom in-app ads for those sponsors and use that, put that money to good use where the users can earn points which convert into dollars that go into the charity prize pool. And for the users, it's a community engagement tool. So retain the value in which every participant for these events paid to join the event and give them an event that they can do virtually, compete, and connect with the greater community, invite even more people to join, and use it as a great opportunity to stay connected and raise money to support those causes.
Kind of sounds like a win-win-win, because you're not only helping nonprofits out that might be struggling, you're getting people some exercise, and you're getting them connection, which is all things that we need during this quarantining time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest thing, is especially during this kind of disconnected time, it's so important that we all find an outlet to stay connected. We all find the motivation to stay healthy, and we do our part to support the communities in which we live.
So how are you partnering to really make this happen and build that connection?
In terms of your own backyard, we know that you have a community of churches throughout New York and Pennsylvania. Each one of them, it'd be very easy for us to work with them and set up a custom virtual fundraising event that they can use to raise money to support their work and what they're doing from a relief effort standpoint and make it really easy to engage their entire community.
What is it that made you want to start this, made you want to pair up and help out nonprofits and charities?
Great question. So it kind of stems from my foundation. I grew up in a very sports-oriented and health and fitness-oriented family. I have a brother that's 2 years older than me, and we grew up playing every sport you can imagine. We were very competitive, so it's competition and health and fitness is in our blood. It actually started from just the wellness and fitness focus. I went to school at the University of Wisconsin to get a biology degree, graduated in 2014, and ended up working at a big healthcare IT company for a year and a half. I installed cardiology software, It was an awesome job. I loved the experience. I made some of my best friends there. But there was a little bit of a misalignment between the work I was doing and what I needed from a personal standpoint. It was hard for me to keep myself in a normal, healthy, active routine when I was in a job that had a pretty demanding travel schedule and work schedule. So the roots to which I started Kilter was the passion and the mission to help motivate people to lead healthier and more active lifestyles. And it started as something completely different. It started as a platform to try to connect frequent travelers with discounts at gyms in the cities they were going. The original idea started in 2016. And the way that we got to where we are today, it's been just kind of really cool to see the evolution of today's population, this generational shift where we're sitting in the middle of both a healthy and active lifestyle revolution, as well as a philanthropic revolution. People genuinely care about giving back to their local communities, the causes that are close to their hearts. And we saw an opportunity to build something that ties these two things together and use technology as a powerful tool and a force for good to help raise money for the nationwide network of charities that need it right now, and as a tool to help motivate people to stay active and healthy.
And never more of an important time for all of those than right now, too, during a pandemic. I'm sure you guys didn't see that coming, but boy, what a great organization to have during this time.
Yeah, thank you. And we're kind of on our way to moving towards this direction anyway. When the pandemic started, it just kind of forced us to accelerate the speed at which we're trying to develop these solutions.
Is there anything else that you would want to add here, Seth?
We want to make it as easy as possible to work with us. It's a very low price to work with us. We have the opportunity to host, whether they're free events for your community or paid events, in terms of how, if people are interested in working with us, they can reach us at friends@kilterrewards.com. And we're more than happy to talk with people about their needs and setting up some great opportunities and events with them.
I sure do appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
All right. That's Seth Braddock helping not-for-profits raise money in the midst of this ongoing COVID-19 crisis. And you can download Brandon's complete interview. Just go to fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The disturbance that brought snow to much of the area last night has departed, but another is on the way. It's going to target accumulations later tomorrow and tomorrow night across the Twin Tiers. It will pass, and higher pressure builds in to start the weekend on a brighter, less chilly note. The cold, though, for this afternoon, variable clouds and sunshine. Be some snow showers into the evening hours, a couple of rain showers in the mix as well, scattered about. Temperatures peaking in the upper 30s to the mid-40s. A couple of stray flurries tonight, the low in the 20s and low 30s. Clouds thicken tomorrow, rain and snow will arrive. We'll have to watch the higher elevations of the Twin Tiers for a few inches of snow that could accumulate tomorrow into tomorrow night. Highs tomorrow in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. Saturday will become partly to mostly sunny, the high in the 40s and lower 50s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally from us at noon today, Binge Nation. There's a new survey out that shows the average American is streaming 8 hours of content a day during the ongoing coronavirus crisis. With all this extra time, why not? According to the streaming website Tubi, 65% of moms and dads are letting their kids binge watch movies and television shows during this period of social distancing. 38% of respondents are logged on to 5 or more streaming services at any given time. The average adult will finish 3 TV series in a week. And at this rate, experts say many of us will be exhausting our entire Netflix library before the end of summer. And that's our world for Thursday, April 16th. As always, thanks for being with us. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.